Good morning, church. And Happy New Year. Happy New Year. The world has to wait until January 1st, but in the Christian church, our year begins today with the first Sunday of Advent, that season where we begin to anticipate the birth of our Lord and at the same time look forward to His return. So this is our Christian Happy New Year today. We welcome all of you to worship today, members and visitors. And if you are visiting, please fill out the green form that's in the pew. It gives us a record of your time with us and the opportunity to stay in touch with you. And if you're also wanting to use that for a prayer concern, please use that later. They'll be collected during the third hymn of the day, right before the prayer. I invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship, which is printed in the bulletin. Let's read responsibly. The season of Advent is here. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Our hearts are prepared to worship the Lord.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Our hands are prepared to work for the Lord.
We worship, we work, and we await our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 244, Come the Long Expected Jesus.
Together. Glorious God, we welcome you today into this place where we have opened our hearts to receive your Spirit and be led by your Spirit into the worship of our wonderful and gracious God. You have provided us with a Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. We gather in his name, anticipating the celebration of his birth and yet anticipating as well the glorious return of Christ. We gather as your children to pray as we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you take a moment to greet one another, wish each other Happy New Year today. like that. Happy New Year. We've got a lot of announcements, a lot of things going on. First things first, we want, if you've ordered a Christmas wreath or something like that from us, they're out in the fellowship hall at, immediately following the service. You can pick those up. And we had a great turnout yesterday of people that came, and we were a well-oiled machine. It really cranked out those wreaths and everything. Thanks to Michelle and everybody else that helped with that. We had many hands made light work, so that was great. So pick those up today after service in the fellowship hall. Tonight we have Hanging of the Greens here at the church. It's at 6 o'clock. I think that kids that are involved with that need to be here by 4?
Three or four,
depending. They should know. Cindy already talked with them. If they're not here at 3, heads will roll. No, that's right. No. It's going to be nasty. No. No. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's a wonderful service. So come on out for that. We hope you can make it at 6 o'clock this evening. And then we have caroling next Sunday for the youth group, and we're meeting at 5 o'clock for that. We'll be going to Colony House in Abington. We'll be going to South Shore Rehab, and then we'll be going to visit some of our own folks in their homes, and we hope to have a good turnout for that. That's not just restricted to kids. We'd love to have other adults come if they'd like to come and sing with us Christmas carols. Pardon?
Especially if you can sing,
but even if you can't sing, we'd like to have you. We do make a joyful noise, and so, especially if you can sing, though, yeah, you need to carry the day for the rest of us. And then, let's see, we have Progressive Supper, which is coming up in 2 weeks, and we really haven't given that the attention we need to give it, but it's coming up in 2 weeks, and if you could help us out at all with that, we'd really appreciate it. We've gone to a lot of the same homes in the past years, but if you'd like to host one of our courses, we're having appetizers at one place, soup at another place, and then salad at the third place, the main course at the fourth, and then dessert at the fifth. So it's a great time. It's our Christmas party for our youth group, and we really enjoy going to people's homes and eating their food. So if you'd like us to eat your food, if you want to see what locusts do, then we'll come and show you what they do as they come through. Yeah, we're very low maintenance, yes. But it's a lot of fun, so please keep those things in mind. And I'm sure I'm giving short shrift to some things. Commitments received to date are in your bulletin if you want to take a look at that. If you'd like to make a commitment for the upcoming year, you're still able to do that, so please do that. Commitment Sunday was last Sunday, but they're still accepting for that. And I'm sorry, what? Oh, there's forms in the back, yeah. So if anybody would like to take one, they can grab one on their way out today, or even grab one right now. One of the ushers will give it to you if you'd like one. So anyway, are there any other things that I need to call attention to that I haven't? Okay, well, let's go to worship.
Please rise and turn in your hymnals to number. Sorry about that.
First Corinthians 1:3-9. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so you will be blameless on the day our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful.
Now rise and turn in your hymnals to number 243, Emmanuel, and we'll be singing it through twice.
Oh.
seated. And if there are joys or concerns you'd like to have part of the pastoral prayer, please hold up the green slips and one of the ushers will bring them forward. If you have any joys you'd like to tell everybody about yourself, please do that. Just Vicki?
Our 5-week-old granddaughter was in the hospital almost all this past week with a real severe infection, and it was very scary, difficult, hard, and I was sharing with her before. I don't think I've ever prayed so much in 1 week, and I don't think I've cried so much in 1 week. But she came home from the hospital yesterday. It was like in a 24-hour period, she just turned around. So we are very thankful.
Thank all of you for your prayers for Ellie. Prayer chain is a really neat thing. I commend its use. In addition to that, anyone else? Joy? Yeah, Bob? Oh, another prayer concern. Okay. We have a praise today that Sunday school attendance was the highest of the year. See, we're starting a new year on a good note. The highest. Let's just keep it up. Praise. That's great. Wendy Cope asked prayer for a new job opportunity. Nancy Hurst asked that we pray for Matthew Adams, who was just diagnosed with leukemia and is starting chemotherapy. And a reminder that the commitment forms are available in the back of the sanctuary, and you can put them in the offering plate or give it to Al Donaghy. Several prayer requests on this one here. Prayer for Daniel, a 4-year-old boy who's having eye surgery to remove his eye. He's praying for a miracle. He's already had one eye removed from cancer. He's from Andover, Massachusetts. That's from Bob McKinnon. Let's turn to God in prayer. Almighty God, today we turn our thoughts forward to the birth of your Son. Thankful for this season of Advent that allows us to prepare and to think and to plan and pray and ready our hearts for the celebration of his birth. To begin that even today with this worship and the hanging of the greens tonight. And yet at the same time enter a season where we look beyond the birth of Christ to his return. For as your Son was once born in Bethlehem, he has promised to return in glory. And we are eager for that day. Because then finally the world will have no more war. And there will be no more death. There'll be no more 4-year-olds risking the loss of their eye because of cancer. No more people getting diagnosed with leukemia. We pray for these who are ill, for Daniel, for Matthew, for others on our prayer list. We pray with thanksgiving for your power to heal and do miracles. Pray for faith to ask for them. Faith to trust you to do the right thing, whether a person is an adult or a child, known to us or unknown, Each one is known to you, and we pray you will do what is good and right for them all. We pray for Wendy as she seeks a new job opportunity, that you would open doors according to your will and provide for her. Lord, we give you thanks today for your blessing that is restoring Ellie to health and let her come home. We thank you for the strength you've given to Bob Willett and Bob Gaffney to both return to worship today from their surgeries on their back. Lord, we praise you today that the Sunday school attendance was so high. Thank you for drawing people to this church. Thank you for drawing them to a place where the gospel is proclaimed in Sunday school and in worship, where Jesus Christ is lifted up and exalted as the King of glory, the Savior of the world. Thank you for drawing people here for the fellowship that is warm and encouraging, for the teaching that is true and biblical, and for the opportunities to serve in our community and our world through the ministries of this church. We pray, O Lord, that you would anoint us this season in a special way, causing your scripture to open to us in new ways, scriptures that are often familiar. May you speak to us in new ways and teach us new things so that our lives might take on new depth and new qualities of Christ-likeness, so that our witness in the world is more effective and fruitful, so that others are drawn to you because we are here, that we might really be the light of the world you call us to be and empower us to be, that others might see this light and be drawn to it, drawn by our fellowship, drawn by our welcome, drawn by the warmth of this place, drawn by the love that is shared here, drawn by the truth that is proclaimed here in so many ways, that there is a God of love and power who has provided the world with a Savior. We pray all these things and ask for your grace in the name of that Savior, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue the worship of God, presenting the tithes and offerings that you brought today. And during the collecting of the offering, we're going to have some special music from Pat and Brian and Matt DeStoop.
Burden, demon, for me.
Please rise for the doxology. Hymnals to number 349, How He Loves You and Me.
Oh, He loves you and me.
Please be seated. And I'd like to invite the kids up for a few minutes together before junior church. Got a big row up front here. That's great. A lot of kids today. My goodness. This is great. You still keep coming. Zoe May, welcome back. On. Thanks for coming up. Got a lot of folks today. Hi. Come on up. I want you to look around today and see if you can tell me anything that looks different in here today than last week. What, Joey?
It's
okay. Some people. Yeah, Ben? Yeah.
Decorations.
All the decorations, yeah. That's something else, Joey?
More recent decorations.
Yeah, more recent decorations. Do you know why we're doing that? Yeah, today is the start of what we call Advent. And Advent helps us get ready for Christmas. Because tonight we're going to have the hanging of the greens. Great. I love it too. I'm looking forward to it because it'll be my first one here. And there'll even be more decorations here than there are now. Yes? That's true. But those are different than last week. But Advent gets us ready for Christmas. Now, have you ever heard that song, The 12 Days of Christmas?
Nope.
Well, here's how it goes. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. And those are the 12 days that come after Christmas. The 12 days that start with Christmas. But Advent are the days that lead up to Christmas, that are before Christmas. So, on the first day of Advent, we hang up all the greens to make the sanctuary look nice. And green. So we're going to have a fun time tonight. I hope all of you can come back to share when we decorate it. And we're going to show the baby Jesus coming forward with his parents and the wise men and the shepherds and the angels. It's going to be a great time tonight. So I hope all of you can come back. So let's pray together for today and your time in junior church. Lord, we thank you for the love you have for us to send your son to be our Savior and for this exciting season of Advent that can help us prepare for the birth of Jesus and to look forward to his return. May your blessing be upon the kids who go to junior church and on all of us who stay here. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn to page. Hi, you gonna go? Yeah, Lisa will take you. Page 1578 in the Pew Bible, we'll find Mark chapter 13. I'm gonna be reading verses 21 to 37. The more I hear people talk about hanging the greens, it's funny how the Advents are feeling, the adults are feeling like kids because they're so excited about this service tonight. They remember when they were kids doing the hanging and are looking forward to it. So it's just a wonderful season. I hope many of you can come back and enjoy tonight's service at 6 o'clock. Here's our text from Mark chapter 13. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "Look, there he is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. You know, as I look at this, oh, here we go. I was having trouble finding the actual text for the sermon, but there it is. Never mind. Let me continue. I apologize. False Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, Men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away till all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. So it's just in this last verse, it's as if he's saying it to those who heard him at the time, what I say to you, but because it's here in the scripture, everyone hears that word, watch. Lord, we pray that your spirit will enable us to hear your word so that we might live according to it, that we might live by its hope and its promise for the glory of your name. Amen. My wife will testify that I am not a very patient man. Waiting for things is not my strong suit, whether it's waiting for lights to change or waiting for lines to shorten or waiting for the train to arrive when we're going somewhere on the T. But when I watch people who are waiting for the train, I see them waiting in two different ways. Some riders, most of them really, are just standing there reading a book or looking at their phone. They know the train will come whenever it comes, and they're not concerned about that, so they occupy themselves with things that are totally personal and unrelated to the fact that they're waiting on a train. But there are others who keep looking down the track, they can't stand there and relax and wait. They have to keep looking for the first sign of the train. Well, we're not waiting for a train. Advent is about waiting for Jesus. Before Jesus was born, there were faithful Hebrews, like we read about in Luke, Simeon and Anna and others who waited for God's promised Messiah to come and deliver the people from their oppressors. But when Christ came, he didn't come as an earthly conqueror. He did not come to deliver his people from the Romans, but from sin and from the judgment of God. And when Jesus went back to heaven, Caesar was still on the throne in Rome, but the power of sin and death, hallelujah, that power had been broken by his death on the cross. So since the first coming of Christ, the church has been waiting for the second advent of our Lord. But we usually aren't talking and singing and preaching about his return every day, like the tea riders who read or play on their phones. We don't even think about the Lord's return that often. But in Advent, now, we're more like the riders who keep looking for the train, because the coming of Jesus is the focus of our worship for a season. The wait is on. Now, the wait has obviously been a long one. As early as AD 55 is when Paul told the church in Corinth, what you heard earlier, that because of God's grace, you're not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that God will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, that day when Jesus comes again. Paul knew the waiting isn't always easy. Maybe you're a little bit like me at times, and waiting for things is hard for you as well. Paul knew that, and so he told the church that God would strengthen them to wait well. Neither they nor Paul knew when the end would come, The day of Jesus' return, he said himself, was known only to God, not us. But Paul said that while they waited, God would gift them for ministry and strengthen them to minister faithfully, because they weren't supposed to just stand around and do nothing. God would work for those who waited, just like God did before. Long ago in Isaiah, the prophet praised God, saying, "From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him." God works for those who wait for him. The gods of the nations were plentiful, but they were idols. They were carved from stone and wood. They had eyes but couldn't see. They had ears but they couldn't hear the prayers. They had hands and feet carved in there, but they couldn't move or do anything. Not so with our God. In Egypt, the Hebrews waited, and then God worked to set them free. In the wilderness, they waited, and God worked to provide and guide them. At the Jordan River, they waited, and God worked to stop the river and lead the people into the promised land on dry land. The God of the Bible works for those who will wait for him. So if we want God to work for us, to work in our lives, let's wait for God in the right way. But does waiting for God to send the Lord Jesus Christ look like commuters waiting for the train? Do we wait for Jesus to come again by looking down the tracks, or in this case, up at the sky, craning our necks, looking in every direction to see the first sign of Jesus' return? There have been groups from time to time that did wait like that. Their leaders claimed to have finally figured out the day of Jesus' return, so they all went out to look up in the sky and wait. But no one came. I think they should have known better, because when Jesus ascended into heaven in the book of Acts, two angels who came to the disciples who were staring up into the sky like this and said, "Why are you staring up into the sky? Jesus will come again. You don't have to keep looking for him like that. You'll know when he comes." Sky gazing is not how you wait for the Lord when the wait is on. But then reading the Metro or your favorite mystery writer isn't the best way to wait either. We may believe that Jesus is coming again, but that does not mean that we can put his return out of mind while we just go about our own business, enjoy our own pursuits, our own pleasures. It's no act of faith to say, "Well, I believe Jesus will come again, but since I don't know when, I'll just do my own thing till it happens." That's not the way to wait when the wait is on. Jesus told us in his gospel how to wait. And since it is Jesus that we're waiting for, we would do well to do what he said. So hear it again, Jesus saying, it's like a man going on a journey. It's a parable, he's saying. When he leaves home and he puts his servants in charge, each with their work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake. You don't know when the master of the house will come in. It might be in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch, keep awake. So here's the way to wait while the wait for Jesus is on. Watch. Watch for his return, because Jesus could come any day. This is what we mean when we say the return of Jesus is imminent. You say, "What are you talking about? It's been 2,000 years. How could it be near?" That's what imminent means. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be before we hit the bed tonight. We don't know. And so any day could be the last day. Any day could be the return of Jesus, the day of Jesus Christ. It is imminent in that sense. So we need to watch for it and work. Do the work Jesus gives you gifts to do. See, it was not just to Corinth, but to every believer that God supplies the Spirit, who gives each of us spiritual gifts and the strength to minister in the name of Jesus. The Spirit has gifted us so we can be about the Lord's business, not our own. Jesus left us each with his or her own work. Work he calls us to do with the gifts we have received. How many of you here today would say, by raising your hand, that you know what spiritual gift or gifts the Lord has given you? Several of you. Great. That's wonderful. From time to time, the church does a gifts inventory, a spiritual gifts inventory, and I'd like to try some of that in the next few weeks to just let everybody see, by checking out what they like, what their desires are, where they've been effective, what gifts they might have. Because if you work according to your gifts, then it's like putting a round peg in a round hole. But if you have spiritual gifts for this and you're asked to do that, that's like putting a round peg in a square hole. And it doesn't work as well. So when we know what gifts we've been given, we can work more effectively with the work we've been given to do. We're told to wait with watchful work. For some, that work is teaching. For others, it's singing. For some, that work is preaching. And for others, it's church outreach. But every believer is called to the work of Christ in one form or another because we are his body. We're the hands and feet of Christ in the world. Your work might be at a nursing home worship or a men's meeting at church. It might be in hospital visitation or outreach calling in your neighborhood. Your work might be youth ministry. It might be a Bible study, new outreach. It could be music. But be sure that every servant of our master has work to do while we wait. Work the Lord has given each of us to do. And in addition to our individual gifted work, all the members here have pledged to watch over one another. The work of every member is to pray for the church, assemble for worship, give of your means to support the ministries of your church. Each member has the work of seeking the salvation of our families and associates. Your covenant, you see, is like a church member's job description. It details the work you've agreed to do with each other and for each other. Each servant of Christ here has that important covenant work to do. So it's no wonder the church council vision statement for the year calls you to joyfully recommit yourselves to live by this covenant. It's the right way to wait. The parable Jesus used makes clear that the worst thing a servant can do is fall asleep, to neglect the work, and so ignore the commands of Christ. The Lord has given us everything we need to wait faithfully and well. We have spiritual gifts to do the work Jesus gives us to do. We have his Spirit dwelling in us to give us strength to do that work. We have the Bible, God's Word, to give us guidance and encouragement. We have each other. What a wonderful blessing, so that we're not working alone. Bob testified earlier about what a well-oiled machine it was when people were working together just to get these reeds together. And of course, to give us hope, we have the promise that Christ will come again. We don't know when. That's the only thing. We don't know when. But we do know this. The return of Jesus is 1 year closer than it was last Advent. There is less time now to wait for the Lord's return than there was a year ago. And I expect we don't want the Lord to come and find us asleep, not watching, not working, not when so much is at stake for us and for our church and for our world. So while the wait is on, we wait by watching for Jesus to come again. That is, we don't forget about it. We don't spend our time and resources and energy chasing our own priorities. We pray, "Thy kingdom come," day by day with the Lord's Prayer. We pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." And we wait by watching for human needs that we can meet in Jesus' name. We wait by watching for ministry opportunities where we can use the gifts God has given us. We wait by doing the work Jesus gives us to do as members of his body. Singing, teaching, leading, serving, praying, going, doing. And we wait by doing the work of the church, proclaiming the gospel to those who need a Savior, pursuing peace between the unreconciled, seeking justice for the oppressed, the homeless, the refugee, and by faithfully worshiping God week by week. It won't do to wait gazing into heaven. It won't do to wait and withdraw into our own pursuits and pleasures and ignore the coming of Christ. We're not waiting for the train. We're waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ to appear again in glory. Church, just like Corinth, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. God has put this body together the way he knows it needs to be put together. He adds to it those members as he sees fit and gifts them to do the ministries this particular church is called to do in this particular place at this particular time. So just like Corinth, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift to do the work God gives you to do as the First Baptist Church of Abington. And God will strengthen you till the end comes so that you may be blameless. Think of that. Blameless on the day of Jesus' return. Jesus is the master of this house. We are his servants. And church, the master tells us, keep awake. Watch for my return. Do the work I gave you and do it well till I come again. That's how we must wait while the wait is on, in Advent and always. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, it is hard to stay attentive when the wait for your return has been so long. Hard to stay focused on the fact that you have promised us you will come again. And so easy to get distracted and caught up in our own pursuits, our own agendas and priorities. But you've called us to a different way of living, a different way of waiting. Waiting in hope that what you said will come true. Perhaps in our own lifetime we might see the most miraculous thing of all, the return of Jesus. May that hope fuel us to wait well. Not be idle, but work with the gifts you've given us to tell others about Jesus, to help them prepare for his return, to not just celebrate a birth that took place long ago and remember that, but to anticipate that this one who came to Bethlehem will come again in glory. Lord, help us to have that hope and to wait accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is number 766. It's At the Name of Jesus. It's to a familiar tune, Like a River Glorious. So if you can put in your head that tune, that's how we're going to sing this song. I invite you to stand as we close our worship.
Every time. hearing during the offertory today and our special music. I invite you now to receive God's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace and enable you to wait in hope for the glorious return of our Lord. Amen.